Hello and welcome to Talking Papers, the podcast where we talk about papers and let the papers do the talking. And the paper we have today is Shape as Points, a Differentiable Poisson Solver. And today my guest is the first author, Songyu Pan. Hello, Songyu. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Isaac. It's a great honor to be here.
Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Songyu and I'm a PhD student right now at ETH Zurich and Max Planck Institute for Intelligent Systems in Tübingen. So I'm luckily co-supervised by Mark Polyface and Andreas Geiger. And I'm mainly working on 3D vision with deep learning and focusing a little bit on 3D reconstruction, neural rendering, and also a little bit of SLAM.
Nice. And who are the co-authors of this paper?
This work was done with these amazing collaborators. One is Max Chiyu-Jiang and Yi Liang. So Max right now is in Waymo, and also together with Yi, who is currently in Zhejiang University in China, but postdoc in Max Planck Institute, and also Michael Niemeyer, and also Mark Polyface and Andreas Geiger. So this work was mainly done when I was in this 1 year visit in Tübingen, basically.
Cool. Sounds like a fun year.
Yeah, it was nice.
Okay, so let's dive into the abstract. So in kind of a TLDR format, 2-3 sentences, what is this paper about?
Our paper is basically, in short, a differentiable version of this classic Poisson surface reconstruction algorithm. And then we call this shape as points because it's also a kind of like a hybrid shape representation that somehow unifies the implicit and explicit shape representations. And in this paper, we basically show the applications in surface reconstruction from point clouds. And we show the case on both optimization and the learning-based setting.
You got me all curious about this paper. What is the problem that this paper is addressing and why is it an important one?
As we all know, right, in recent years, these neural implicit representations, or now they call it neural fields, gained popularity in 3D reconstruction field due to their expressiveness and flexibility. And the quality of the reconstruction is super high. Due to the nature of this neural implicit representation, so usually their inference times are slow. And also you cannot really utilize this initialization from the observation very easily. That's one of the main things or motivation for this work. And then on the other hand, we all know those explicit representations like point clouds, mesh, they are very well studied already. And we all see that they have the benefit of really fast inference. But then their reconstruction quality is kind of unsatisfactory compared to this neural implicit representation. So the main goal for this paper now is then how can we really combine the best of these both implicit and explicit representation. So we want to have high quality reconstruction with relatively low inference time. So then basically in this paper, we try to revisit this classic point cloud representation and introduce a differentiable Poisson solver. So with this, we can bridge the point cloud with the explicit mesh representation via an implicit indicator field. Basically, and so this allow us to represent the shape as an oriented point cloud.
I really like the idea of taking this very well established paper of the Poisson reconstruction and using it and creating something new that has all the bells and whistles of the new machine deep learning implicit representation age. Okay, I guess we already said, I guess, the most important related work. But moving on to the related work section, before anyone approaches your paper, which one or two papers do they have to read before they read yours?
For the related work, as I said, the main motivation is this nature of the neural implicit representation. The most related work, I would say, is this occupancy network plus my previous work, the convolutional occupancy network. Basically, this kind of work, as I said, so compared to the explicit-based representation methods, they show really impressive 3D reconstruction results. The inference time is pretty slow. because they requires millions of evaluations on the grade point. Then so we just thought about, can we somehow speed up this process of the implicit representation while keeping the quality of the reconstruction? That's like one related work. And of course, so we are proposing this differentiable Poisson solver. And of course, another very related work is the classic surface reconstruction, Poisson surface reconstruction method. I guess like, I won't go into any details, but it's really a nice or famous work, established work, and like, motivates so many follow-up works in this field. And yeah, it's really nice, but like, it's also, you always require having the normals as input, right? Like, but then like how to estimate the normals from this input point cloud, it's not very trivial, or like it's actually quite sensitive to different noise levels or outliers when you estimate the normals. Right. So if your normals are somehow not well estimated, then like the reconstruction is like completely bad. In this sense.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. I know that very well. I have two papers dealing with just the normal estimation part. So I know it's a very difficult one.
Exactly. So that's also like somehow inspire us. Can we somehow iteratively update these normals and to fix this incorrect normal estimation? So that's also like one of the main motivations here. Yeah.
So now let's dive in. How did you do it? What is the proposed approach? What is the key ideas?
The main key idea is to, as I said, like, how can we have the best from the both implicit and the explicit representation? So we want to somehow find a way to bridge this like explicit 3D point representation with the mesh, for example, over this implicit indicator field. And like, this core of the bridge is our differentiable Poisson solver, basically. And I will first maybe briefly explain the intuition of this Poisson equation, and then we tell about like how we solve it. So the intuition is that first, like, we can consider a 2D solid circle as a simple shape as example. And then to represent this shape of the circle, we can convert this shape into some like regular grid. And then we can have all the values inside the circle as zero or outside as one. And then if you visualize this grid, then it's like black inside this circle and then white outside. And then now if we take the gradient for this grid, and we will have zero gradient value everywhere in the space, except for the values on the surface itself. And then assume we have some like surface points on this circle. Then we have the normals provided as well. And then these points on the surface and the normals are somehow like approximation of the gradient for this indicator grid, basically, as we just said, right? And then we should have a equation, which is like the point normals should be equals to the gradient of this indicator field. And then by applying the divergence operators on both sides of the equation, then we can build something called the Poisson equation. Then basically this is the Poisson equation. And now we want to solve this equation. What we need to do is that, as we just said, right, we need to do the discretization first, and we need to discretize both the function values as well as the differential operator. And so solving this indicator function amounts to solving the linear system by inverting this divergence operator. So now the divergence operator is also differentiable, so we can also invert it. But then like to solve this, we use something called the spectral method. So instead of using this finite element approach used in like Poisson surface reconstruction, we solve with this spectral method, basically trying to decompose the signal into a linear combination of sine and cosine spaces. And then like, so the nice thing of this is that their derivatives can be computed analytically. So like this allows solving this problem like in a differentiable manner and make everything very easy, our life easy. And also one thing is that we are considering this uniform grid instead of like this octree, because like we can, this kind of FFT operations, they are already like super highly optimized and well supported in GPU or like TPUs as well, or all these like deep learning framework like PyTorch or TensorFlow. So they're already there, and then we just like, we can easily plug in into our, just try to have this as the tool. And so that's basically the solver itself. Nothing really fancy, I would say, but like the main advantage is the differentiability. So we want to somehow use it for different tasks. And so I will maybe focus more on this like experiments part later.
Okay, let's just recap, okay? Because that was a lot of details, very dense, okay? So let's break it down a little bit. So the way I see it, you have to approximate the gradient of that indicator function, you have that normal. And this is what makes everything differentiable, because you can just swap that normal with that part of the derivative that you don't have.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other component is the fast Fourier transform, which allows you to avoid having to solve the entire linear system of equation. And you have very optimized ways of doing that. You don't even need to use all of those tricks to speed everything up.
Yeah, right? Like it's not like optimized ways. It's just like basically PyTorch or TensorFlow, they are already optimizing this fast Fourier transform for us. So we just need to use it. That's the
It's fast out of the box.
Right? Exactly, it's fast out of the box.
Yeah. But okay, let's say, so what is your input? Okay, the input to your network is...
Now there's no network right now. At this stage, there's no network at all. Solver itself, this is just like nothing, no network. Basically, the input is just like oriented point cloud, let's say.
You have an oriented point cloud, and what you want to get is a representation of the surface.
Yeah,
no network.
No network. So the output of this Poisson solver, it's just a dense grid of the it's like just the indicator grid, basically the implicit indicator grid. So indicating whether a point in the space is zero or one. So it's inside or outside the object.
Yeah, we need to say that again slowly. There's no network at this point of the paper.
Yeah, no network.
It's very rare these days to see that, okay? There's no network in this stage of the paper. Yeah, it took me a minute when I read the paper, I was thinking... There's no network there. Wait, there's the network in the second part. But in this part of the paper, you basically have the points as input and you have the solver, and the output is basically the surface that you want to reconstruct.
Exactly. And this is actually the core of the method, right?
Okay, so the solver, no network, it just does this gradient approximation replacement trick to solve the Poisson equation, and we get the reconstruction from the points. But then you have another component to the paper, right, where you do learn something. There is a network there.
First, like, let me talk about something without deep learning. So it's the optimization-based setting. So basically, again, there's no network at all. And then we directly just use the Poisson solver to do the reconstruction from some unoriented point cloud. So now let's say we have some target point cloud without any normals given. And then how can we have the shape out? And basically, we can first initialize some oriented point clouds from a sphere, just for the sake of simplicity. And then we can just run our Poisson solver on this oriented point cloud from the sphere and to obtain this indicator grid. And then we run the matching cube to obtain a mesh from it. And then we can sample the mesh point from this mesh, and then calculate the transfer distance over the target point clouds, as we just said before. And so let's say, okay, we have a target point cloud from, I don't know, like a cup or something like that. But now our mesh is only a sphere. And now we have the sample point from the sphere, and then we calculate this transfer distance over this cup. And then we backprop through our pipeline. And then the pipeline right now is actually differentiable, although we have a marching cube steps here.
Yeah, so you skip the marching cube step by using the normal.
No, we have an approximation, which is also from another previous paper called Mesh SDF. They derive this basically approximation of the gradient for the marching cube. And then so basically our whole pipeline right now is differentiable because our Poisson solver is also differentiable, right? So now... with the loss, the transfer loss, and we can backprop to update our initial point clouds. So basically these initial point clouds sample from the sphere. And then we can do this iteratively. And in the end, we can have an oriented point cloud represent this cup.
So you have an unoriented point cloud from an object. Mm-hmm. And you have the optimization pipeline, and then you need to start with some normals. So you start with the normals on a sphere. So
exactly,
it's incorrect, but since you do it iteratively, it will
update
and be correct over time. And I guess my question is, why not initialize to the input geometry with some
normal estimation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this could be done as well, actually. So like that was asked by a reviewer as well. So we show some results that, if we initialize from some intermediate optimization or intermediate representation, like if we already have some partial observations, like noisy point clouds with normals, for example, then we can directly start from there. That's actually fine. Also, it's actually pretty... It's faster than initialize from a sphere, right? Because you need to deform more and then change everything.
And one other thing that came to mind when I initially saw it, but then with the results, I completely understood that my initial thought was incorrect, is when you start with a sphere, I thought, you're limited to those zero genus topologies, probably. And actually you're not, right?
No. Yeah. So that's like the nice thing. So we actually... very topology agnostic. So we can actually handle like genus over one or something like that, over zero. If we just have a oriented point cloud, let's say, just have an oriented point cloud from some observations, we can run the PSR, for example, and then you can handle any type of genus over zero shape. So it's pretty nice. But if we start from this sphere, so we can also... in some sense, we realize we can also handle all this like genus over zero case, because we also having this like a resample strategy in this pipeline, this optimization based pipeline. So we always need to resample our points from this intermediate mesh representation. And then this actually help us to learn all these holes, etc. So that's basically what we found. Actually.
Yeah. So you do the process iteratively and every... I think 1,000 iterations, you resample and train and optimize some more. But where the networks come in? So there has to be a network somewhere. Right? Okay, where is the network?
So now basically in this case, this optimization-based setting, right? Yeah, no network. Sorry. Right. But then so we compare with some other methods based on the neural network. But then so we show that we are fast in some sense, like in the optimization process. And then also compared to the Poisson surface reconstruction, we also show that we can handle those very thin structure, although we don't have any normal estimation in our pipeline. But then the problem is that, so now this optimization based method, it's always limited to the clean target point cloud, right? So you cannot be really noisy or have some outliers in this sense, like our method also work, or any other like optimization based setting also fails, right? So then we're thinking about, okay, how can we handle these large noise levels and like with also like very high outliers ratios, for example, in your point clouds. So then we say, okay, so we should probably use a network. And then because our Poisson solver is differentiable, right? So we can basically plug in this Poisson solver into a network to help to learn the network. So that's where, okay, now our network-based method comes in.
So your network, the network-based method, if I understand correctly, what it does is it takes the input noisy point cloud and applies some, I would say, transformation on it to move the points back onto the surface if they're just perturbations or outliers. So it learns to handle all of those before the differential layer. And then basically you can train them together because it's all differentiable.
Yeah, exactly. Also, so not just moving the point cloud itself, we also, the network also estimates the normals. The first thing is predicting the offsets of the point cloud. And the second thing is predict the point cloud's normals after you move the point.
So in this case, you have normals at the input as well? Or do you use those normals?
No. So basically, we only have a noisy point cloud without normals, unorienting point clouds. And then we use a network to predict how to move this unoriented point cloud. So then after moving this point cloud, we have another small network to predict the normals for this cleaned version of the point cloud. So in the end, we have a oriented point cloud. And right. then we input to our differentiable Poisson solver.
And how do you train this? Do you train it the same as before? Or do you have another component here?
So now basically the different thing is like, so we want to train on a very large data set, right? So we train on the StripNet in this sense. Assume we have the ground truth oriented point clouds from this ground truth mesh. And then we run our Poisson solver to create the ground truth indicator field. And then we have the loss on this indicator field. Okay. So we just train everything end to end with this ground truth indicator field as the supervision. And then we learn this network to predict the offset and the normals.
So let's talk about the results section of the paper. So what was interesting? What did you find?
Mm-hmm. Well, first we compare under this optimization-based setup, and we compare with screen Poisson surface reconstruction. And also we compare with some neural network-based methods. Also still under this optimization-based setting. So one is like this 0.2 mesh and the other is IGR. Yeah. So both are super great works. And so compared with our methods, because we don't have neural network at this stage. Yeah. And then we show that, okay, it's much faster in terms of the optimization process. So like for their methods, usually it takes half an hour to 1 hour to have the reconstruction out. And then sometimes like they cannot really handle this genus one shapes, especially for example, this 0.2 mesh paper, because like they directly try to deform the vertices of mm-hmm. the mesh. So it's hard to.
So it's very dependent on the genus, but, mm-hmm. but I guess we dove in too deep too fast. So the experiment is a reconstruction experiment, right? So you get points as input, you generate the reconstruction. Basically what you measure is the distance between the points and the reconstructed mesh. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
My result shows that first, like we can do the reconstruction much faster than the neural network-based methods. And then we show better reconstruction quality and compared to these like kind of methods. And also, we also compare with the screen Poisson surface reconstruction. And so, yeah, of course, they need the normals estimation. So it's somehow we cannot really handle those like very thin structure because you need to somehow decide the plane size, the radius, and then like you cannot really handle it if you choose the same radius for all different type of shapes. And then yeah, so in this sense, like we also can handle it better than the screen Poisson surface reconstruction method.
But the screen Poisson surface reconstruction,
it's much faster.
It's fast, right?
It's fast in the sense of, because like they only need to estimate the normal and then only solve the equation once, basically.
Yeah. Well, you do it iteratively, so right. obviously it would take longer.
Yeah. And then for the learning-based setting, the input, again, is a point cloud. But then like we consider two type of input. Like one type is with a lot of noise. Right. This point cloud has a lot of noise. And the other type is that we have a lot of outliers in the point clouds. Yeah. And then like now the output is still the reconstruction, but then like now we need to. So basically we have a network to try to somehow have a generalizability for like different type of shapes and then like handle different type of noise. And yeah, so that's the. Now we have the network in our pipeline. We compare with the previous method, like my previous paper, this convolutional arguments network. And we showed our reconstruction results and also better than this like pure implicit based method. And also like our inference times is also like one magnitude faster.
So I guess you can look at it that the network component basically its robustness, right? It robustifies the solution, right? You have this differentiable solver that works great if you have something that's super clean, but then if you have something that's a little bit noisy, you need that network to clean it up for you and estimate the normals so you can converge to a proper solution and everything is super fast and outperforms all the other methods. So my next question is, when do you fail? So in which cases did you find that the results weren't great?
I would say there's like a very interesting finding for me is that, so for example, we have two different settings, right? For the first setting, this optimization-based setting, it fails obviously, as we said, when the noise is too large. But then for the learning-based setting, of course, like when your point cloud is really out of your training distribution, for example, your noise level is too different from your training levels, or like you train a network without any outliers, but then now your input point cloud has some outliers, then obviously it's gonna fail as well. So that's like a very obvious kind of failing in this sense. We have some interesting finding, especially in this like a learning based setting. So like, let's say when we try to handle the large outliers case, and then there are outliers very far away from the surface, and then the network actually is lazy. So they basically they are not trying to move those points super far away from the surface to the surface. Instead, what they are trying to do is that like they give the normal prediction a very low magnitude. So in our case, we actually don't normalize the normal in the end, like before input to our Poisson solver. So this actually somehow, if the network predict a very low magnitude for those points, then it somehow mutes those points. So they just don't take into account those points. And then so they won't really contribute to solving the Poisson equation. So that's like some interesting finding that we had. And I realized
that's really interesting. You created this kind of something that filters outliers out, right?
It basically
removes them with the magnitude of the normal. So low magnitude, ignore that point. Don't use that in the solve.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so for the outliers near to the surface, still like the trying to move near to the surface, but like just consider those points too far away, then network's also lazy.
That's what networks do. Let's talk about conclusions and future work. So how do you see the impact of the paper so far? And are there any interesting papers that followed it or any project ideas for current PhD students just getting into the field?
Yeah.
What's your take on this?
Yeah, I don't know about the impact of the paper. Just that's like hard to know at this stage because it's published only like a couple months ago. So it's really hard to see the impact. But like in terms of the future direction, so yeah, indeed, like have a few. For example, like first thing is that how can we really extend such a Poisson solver for very large things? Right now, we only consider like object levels or like human or etc. Like those are like somehow simple. We did not show any very large scale thing reconstruction because again, so right now we are considering this like regular grade, so like uniform grade, and then like cannot really handle very, very large, or it's not really scalable at this stage. Okay, so you can either consider some like sliding window kind of reconstruction. So you reconstruct like part by part and then you somehow stitch them together, but like it's not a very nice solution. But then way of doing it is to trying to have a arc tree representation, but then it's again like a very engineering effort. So for me, in this work, we did not really consider that yet. Right. And then another very interesting direction, I think, is that so this Poisson solver we have always guarantees the water tightness of the output shape. But then many objects or things in real life, they are not watertight. So how can we really utilize this solver to model those like non-watertight shapes? It's also somehow something very interesting. Can we somehow make these like trimming parameters as part of the pipeline? So let's say, okay, this shape, it's not watertight and you need to somehow cross or somehow trim this mesh. So can we somehow have the trimming as part of the pipeline during the training? And then we also make it differentiable. So that's something.
Differentiable trimming.
Differentiable trimming. Yeah, exactly. So that's also something interesting, I think. And also, yeah, because it's a very general Poisson solver. So we could be nice to apply to other tasks other than like the surface reconstruction that we show here. Can we consider like some other tasks even beyond computer vision, but they also try to solve this kind of like Poisson equation?
Yeah, I think this is one of the things I like most about this paper is that the solver is basically like this building block that used to be non-differentiable and now it's a differentiable building block. And you can put it into a variety of problems that you just need that differentiable part of it that so far you couldn't do until your paper came out. And I really like that part. So I can really see it incorporated in many other tasks.
Yeah, thanks. I hope.
Okay, so to my favorite part of the podcast, what did Reviewer 2 say? So please share some insightful comments that the reviewers had. If you want, you can share the ranks. I know it's a NeurIPS oral paper, so I'm assuming the review was pretty good. But yeah, whatever you feel to share, please share with us.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so yeah, when I like saw this question, I just went back to the open review to see all the reviews again. And then first, like the ranks, of course I can share. It's also public, but then like now you can only see the final scores. But like before a rebuttal, our score is 6, 7, 8, 9. So it's like in the scale between 0 to 10 or 1 to 10. Yeah. So 6, 7, 8, 9 was actually already pretty good. But then after our rebuttal, it becomes AAA9. So basically the 6 and 7 reviewer just raised their scores. So I think our rebuttal also was successful. So then it would be nice actually to share some of the reviews, especially for the reviewer 2, which gave us the 6. There are mainly 2 concerns from the reviewer. The first one is, as we already said, that this cubic memory requirement because we are using this regular grid. So how we address this question is that, so first, we admit that indeed this is a limitation, and we already mentioned this in our limitation section. And then we mentioned a few ways of improving this weakness. And then finally, we emphasize that the benefit of using such a regular grid over this baseline methods. So that's our strategy of how to do the rebuttal for this question.
Yeah, that's great. You own the limitation, right? You straight out say that's a limitation of the method. It doesn't make it any less useful or good, but it's a limitation. You should acknowledge it.
Yeah. And by also you need to tell them okay, how can we improve? So it's solvable, let's say. Also for the second question, the reviewer was asking, so we made a claim about our shape as points representation because it's very easy to initialize. But actually, we did not really have any experiments to support this claim. And then so the reviewer was asking, they don't understand what do you mean by easy to initialize? So this actually make us realize, we did not really include any experiments. So I think that was a really nice reviewer because a reviewer really trying to help us to improve the paper by we omit this actually important claim. So then we immediately add some experiments to trying to show the benefits of this easy to initialize benefit on both optimization-based setting and the learning-based setting. And then we show now we put these actual experiments in the supplementary. And the reviewer was happy. And so he increased the score from 6 to 8.
I think it's something that happens a lot to researchers. You're so focused in the problem. You're so you're diving so deep that you sometimes miss something that in retrospect or when somebody external just looks at it, you made a claim and you didn't support it. And you say, obviously. And that just makes the paper better. And it's really nice to see that even though the paper lacked this component in the beginning, when you corrected it and you added it in supplemental material, right, then the reviewers just updated their views and the paper got accepted at the end. I think it makes the whole research process better. This is exactly what the peer review process is all about.
Exactly. I was very lucky to have such a nice reviewers because all 4 reviewers, they still somehow comments on something after we do the rebuttal. So I know from some of previous papers, some reviewers just basically stop participating the discussion phase after the rebuttal. And that was actually not nice. But this time, we were super lucky, I think, having 4 amazing reviewers.
Okay, so thank you very much for being a guest on the podcast. That's it for Shape as Points, a differentiable Poisson solver. Thank you for listening. That's it for this episode of Talking Papers. Please subscribe to the podcast feed on your favorite podcast app. All links are available in this episode description and on the Talking Papers website. If you would like to be a guest on the podcast, sponsor it, or just share your thoughts with us, feel free to email talking.papers.podcast@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in every week for the latest episodes. And until then, let your papers do the talking.